Welcome to the latest edition of Sleeping Giants. I'm Chris Brammer, and this week I'm joined with Arch and Suffolk chief football writer Stuart Watson to reflect on a difficult, disappointing and sometimes depressing season for Ipswich Town. I'm also going to be looking ahead to next season, well, to pre-season and next season, and asking Stuart, like our columnist Carl Fuller, whether or not we should actually be dreading next season at Ipswich Town, given what's happened this campaign. Stu, give us a little bit of hope.
Well, I guess on the face of it, it's difficult to see too much light at the end of the tunnel at the moment, because we're going to have the same limited investment from the owner, Marcus Evans. We're going to have the same manager, Mick McCarthy, in charge, and the same old pre-season as well, we've been told, with the usual trip to Ireland followed by the local games. So there is that sort of Groundhog Day feel about the club at the moment, a sense that they're sort of simply treading water, heading into a 16th successive season in the Championship. If we're looking for a little bit of hope, then I guess we can look at the fact that there has been a bit of a clearing of the decks. Several players have been released and moved on, and Mick McCarthy's signalled his intent to really freshen up what has become a bit of a stale squad, and maybe sort of four or five quality signings, fingers crossed, might sort of reignite a bit of excitement. But at the moment, the overriding emotion is one of apathy.
Do you think things really will stay the same, given the fans' displeasure this season, the fact that season ticket sales sales are down again on this time last season? Do you think that the two of them might sit down and maybe discuss transfer budgets, and Marcus might just, you know, loosen the purse strings a little bit?
It's going to be to be a fly on the wall in that chat between Mick and Marcus. You wonder whether what Mick says publicly is the same as what gets discussed privately. Mick's always been very quick to say that he knew the gig when he got it. He's rarely rocked the boat when it comes to the budget that he's been given, which has been non-existent. But in the last few weeks and months, as sort of criticism of him has intensified, I get the feeling that Mick's just let slip a couple of frustrations about the budget that he's worked on, and maybe he'll take that into those private discussions with Marcus and for the first time really push him for a few extra funds. It's a difficult one. I think that the finances of the division in the Championship has kind of moved on another level in the last year, with not only the teams coming down with parachute payments, but also the likes of Derby and Sheffield Wednesday and other clubs throwing a bit of money at it. I think we can probably put Wolves in that bracket as well now moving forward. So Marcus Evans will be acutely aware that the finances of the division have moved on. Is he prepared to go with that? Remains to be seen. He's putting £5-6 million a year of his own money into the club to keep it afloat. He's not going to want to do that indefinitely with little chance of a reward or a return on that. So does he start speculating to accumulate? Will he fear that he's throwing good money after bad? It's very difficult to know how Marcus is feeling at the moment, because, as you know, we get to hear very rarely from him.
From the tone of the club, though, do you think he's possibly sort of 6 or 7 years on regretting now getting involved, the situation that they're in now? You just said that he's putting £6 million in a year just to keep the club afloat, but there's not much more there in terms of being able to offer mixed stuff for transfers, is there?
Nice to know what he's thinking now at this stage of his journey at the club. Obviously, the one and only time that I've spoken to him was off the back of that playoff finish, and he was very upbeat then. You know, he talked about learning from his early mistakes and some of the money that had got wasted under Roy Keane and Paul Jewell, and he was quite happy with the sort of stable club, the stable position that the club had found itself in, and was talking very much about sort of kicking on from then. Be nice to know whether there's any regrets about that January transfer window, the year they finished in the playoffs, and whether he regrets perhaps not strengthening from a position of strength and speculating to accumulate then. For me, that was a big turning point. You know, if they'd have just really pushed a little bit more in the second half of that season, then who knows where they'd have been now. But as it was, they sort of limped over the line into the playoffs. I think, you know, the result and the performances against Norwich in those two-legged semis was kind of the best they could have hoped for, and it's kind of been a bit of stagnation since then, really, which has been sad to see.
You look at the Championship, and there's two ways to look at it. I think You've got your teams with finances. Some of them aren't going to go up in the playoffs. You've got your teams coming up, Sheffield United and Bolton, the traditionally big championship teams. And you've got your teams coming down. We know Sunderland and Middlesbrough are definitely coming down. All I would imagine would have various amounts of financial clout, which we've seen we need to get out of the championship. But at the same time, the teams like Barnsley and Preston this season, who have both finished above town, Preston almost got in the playoffs, they've not had mountains of money to spend. So what are they doing right that Ipswich aren't?
Yeah, I think you're right to point out the examples of smaller budget clubs that can still compete. I mean, Ipswich were an example of that 2 years ago themselves, so we mustn't forget that.
Is that a case then of you can only do it for so long and you can only keep up a success for so long on a limited budget then?
Maybe. I still think it's very difficult at the moment to put your finger on why Ipswich are in this position, and obviously you've got two factors to it, haven't you? You've got the owner and the investment, or the limited investment, and then you've got Mick McCarthy and his tactics and his philosophy. Are the two interlinked? There's an element of that. Is the style of football and the tactics and the substitutions and Mick McCarthy's sort of pragmatic safety-first approach, is that completely driven by the finances that he's got? I'm not convinced. I think he could do a little bit more to use the players at his disposal and do more with those, even with the limited budget. So that's the difficult thing about Ipswich at the moment. No one really quite knows what the solution is. You know, it's not just a case of change the manager and everything will be fixed. It's not just a case of chuck a load of money at it and everything will be fixed. But you mentioned Preston, you've mentioned Barnsley, Huddersfield, I know they've spent a bit more money than those two, but not silly amounts of money, and look what they've been able to do with a sort of a fresh approach from a continental manager and good recruitment and things. So I don't think no one's asking for Marcus Evans to suddenly throw mega money at it, but I just think just push the boat out just a little bit more, a bit more sort of, if Mick can really sort of commit to that 5-point plan from Marcus Evans, which I think is pretty sensible actually. You know, he's talking about using the youth team a little bit more, buying players at a younger age and developing them, entertaining style of football, all the rest of it, all great stuff for Ipswich fans, but everyone needs to be on the same page, and I think McCarthy needs to be on that page.
In terms of recruitment, yeah, we know he's not had the biggest budget, but he has brought in players this season that you would consider to be established championship players, the likes. I know he's brought Tom Lawrence in, that was a success. Grant Ward's been good for the most part. Adam Webster, we know how good he's been. But then he brought in the likes of Leon Best, Johnny Williams, both of whom have been around a long time, albeit Johnny Williams is still a young lad. And that's not worked. So not all his signings have worked either, have they, this season, when he has had a little bit of money to spend in terms of wages?
Well, if you went back through a mix transfer record during his 5 years here, it's lot of hits but a lot of misses as well. We were talking about wingers earlier, weren't we? If you went through the list of flops for that position, your Alex Henshaws, Tommy Orr's,
Wordsworth,
there's a few there, isn't there? Cameron Stewart. Yeah. And that's sort of replicated across a variety of positions. Now, to be fair to him, if you're working on a limited budget, then, you know, that is the nature of it, the beast, isn't it? For every David McGoldrick on a free transfer and Cole Skuse and Christoph Behr a success story, you are going to get a Ballantbiner and whoever else. So if Mick suddenly got some extra money, do we really sort of trust him that he's going to get more right than wrong? I don't know. That's a debate to be had. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because he's moved quite a few players on this summer already, a few released. It's, you know, the likes of Bearer and Best and Williams and some of the loan players. That's a fair chunk of the wage bill that's been freed up. So he is going to have a bit of latitude in that respect. If Marcus does give him that little bit of extra money, I think he's probably got more leeway than he has done in previous seasons to bring a few players in. Let's see if he gets the right ones.
It's hypothetical, I know, but if the season was to start tomorrow with this group of players, how short would they be? How far away would they be from sustaining a top six, top ten challenge next season? What did he need to do to strengthen?
What I really want to see this summer is a focus on quality rather than quantity. I think they've as we all know, that, you know, as we've discussed earlier, they are one of the lower budget teams, and I think they really need to foster that underdog spirit again and really sort of, you know, that's what kind of took them to sixth a couple of seasons ago. They had a tight-knit squad. They were repeatedly talked up as the underdogs. I want to see them get back to that, and I want to see fans and the players and the management unified again behind that message. And to do that, I think they need to focus on, you know, I think 10 plus players have gone out the building. I think they need to now put those funds back into 4 or 5 quality recruits and really focus on the areas of the team that haven't been addressed for a long time. Number one priority is replacing Daryl Murphy, getting a physical focal point to the attack again. And secondly, a real genuine box-to-box midfielder who can score goals. They haven't had one of those for years. Emir Hughes helped sort of plug that gap and potentially is the answer to that. So those are the two positions that they absolutely must sort out this summer.
And then centre-back as well, with just three established centre-backs now.
Yeah, beyond that, I think another centre-back's required, but I'm not convinced that you need a proper replacement for Christophe Berra. I think in Chambers, Webster and Smith, you've got three good centre-backs to battle it out, whether they play as a three or whether they're battling it out for a two. Perhaps one more just as backup for them. If Stephen Taylor can prove his fitness, he could be the extra body there. But I wouldn't want to see too many sort of funds ploughed into that position. As I say, the bulk of the budget needs to go towards that striker and the midfielder. And perhaps another winger as well, you know, that would probably be another loan player, I would have thought. We've had Ryan Fraser and Tom Lawrence both been sort of big success stories in the last couple of seasons. If they can pluck another one of those out the bag for that sort of position, that would be great.
Of course, what could free up some wages would be the sale of Bartosz Białkowski, and no one wants to see that, do they? But we've got to be realists about this. About it. I mean, there's going to be some sort of maybe top six championship clubs, lower end Premier League clubs, even interest from abroad maybe in him.
Yeah, Town are in a strong position with Bartosz. That's important to say. He's made no secret of the fact that he wants to play in the Premier League. Rightly so. He's 29 and his stock's at its all-time highest at the moment, of course. But his young family's settled in Suffolk, and I don't think he's itching to get away. I don't think he'll be pushing for the move. And he's contracted till the end of next summer, but Ipswich, of course, have that option of the extra 12 months, so it's effectively a two-year protected asset. So Ipswich can kind of name their price for him at the moment, I think. If they get, you know, good money for him, then perhaps Mick might be tempted to cash in and use those funds to strengthen the other areas of the team that they mentioned. If they don't get the right offer, then they'll keep hold of it.
We don't want to dwell too much on the football we've seen this season. We've seen plenty of your verdicts on a Monday. They've been quite scathing and quite rightly so. But in terms of the games you've seen this season, you've seen the majority of them. Just looking at the opposition now, who's the best team you've seen this season at Portman Road and away from home, and the best two or three players that you can pick out and say, yeah, they're quality?
I think over the two games, Fulham probably are the team that stand out. They've certainly been the most enjoyable to watch, and that, I think, put into stark focus the lack of entertainment that we're being dished up at Portman Road. Not only do they keep the ball well, their midfield are very good with Kearney at the heart of that, but their two full-backs bombed on as well. Yeah, Ryan Fredericks in particular at right-back, Malone at left-back, and that kind of made me realise that perhaps full-back is an area that Ipswich need to sort out as well. I mentioned striker, I mentioned midfield, but I'd also like to see a proper attacking right-back come in. I think Josh Emmanuel's got huge potential, but is he ready to play week in, week out
still
at the moment?
Raw.
Still a bit raw, bit of a learning curve there, so that would be another position that I'd be looking to. But yeah, Fulham certainly stood out. In terms of players, opposition players, someone like Chris Wood, again, was a reminder of what Ipswich have missed in Daryl Murphy. And of course, we had Chris Wood here on loan for a short spell, and that was just bad timing, really. It didn't really work out for him when he came here. But
I don't think he was fully fit, was he?
No, he wasn't fully fit at the time, I think, when he loaned out. But he was just, you know, he was unplayable for Leeds in one of those games. Ipswich, you look around that division, and that sort of player is, you need one of those, whether it's a Chris Martin or a Cameron Jerome. a lot of clubs have got a player like that, and Ipswich have missed one.
Mm-hmm. And your three wishes for next season? You're starting the season again in August. You'll go away in the summer and have a think about it. But come August, what are the three things you want to see or you're hoping to see that will be to the benefit of Ipswich Town?
Well, I guess they fit in with that five-point plan from Marcus Evans, which I said earlier is pretty sensible, really. And I just want to see some evidence of that plan coming together now. At the moment, they've just been words and we've not seen that transpire into action. So some more entertainment. I think Ipswich Town fans have got a bit of a bad rep nationally. I'm fed up of pundits and outsiders sort of, you know, almost sort of looking down their nose and saying, well, hang on a minute, aren't Ipswich fans being unrealistic here? What do they really expect with that budget? And I can understand if you were looking at it from the outside in and just purely looking at the results and the budget, you could make a case for that. But if you're one of the fans who's sat through 90 minutes week after week for the last... not just 12 months, I think the stagnation goes back beyond that. I don't accept Mick McCarthy's claim that it's been one bad year in four or five. I think the fans here have been dished up a pretty poor product, certainly since the start of 2016, and you could argue it goes back beyond that. So it's not just the league position and the results that are turning people away at the moment. It's the product and it's the entertainment value. And so wish list number one would just to be a bit more excitement and a bit more enjoyment for the games. If you wrote down those games, 70-odd games from the start of 2016, you'd struggle to make a list of 10 highlights out of that. So that says it all. So a bit more entertainment. I'd like to see a few more youth team players get their chance. Yes, fair enough. It wasn't the easiest season to blood youth. And yes, Josh Emmanuel and Miles Kenlock got plenty of game time. I'd have liked to have seen a little bit more of Andre Dizel. No one was expecting him to play week in, week out as a 17, 18-year-old. But I think there were times when, you know, he could have come on for the last 20 minutes. He was excellent. He came on in that home game against Bristol City at the end of December and ran the show then. And then suddenly he disappears for another few months. And there was a prime opportunity at QPR away in January, when the game was on a nice head at 1-1 and Mick decided to bring on Douglas instead of Dizel. And that, for me, kind of summed up Mick's attitude in terms of sort of seeing out an away point instead of really being brave and going for it. So I guess that links into the sort of third point of my wish list, is just to see the team, Mick, be a bit more positive with his selection and his tactics, really. Fans won't accept another season or two holding midfielders. It was Skews and Douglas which got under people's skin before that. It goes way beyond that as well. I remember the season before with a midfield three of Higham, Skews and Brew. It's just all samey in midfield, and I'd like to see a bit more of a balance in midfield with that selection. I think Webster will add a bit more of a dynamic to the back three, and I'd like to see a bit more variety in midfield.
And just finally, having come into the office this afternoon, I've seen that Mick's done quite an in-depth interview with the club website, so that signifies that he's probably staying because he's outlined his plans. Is he the right man for the job? Do you think he will stay?
I think he will stay. If you'd have asked me a few months ago, I was becoming convinced that we were heading for a sort of a mutual parting of ways. It was sort of January, February time when he sort of said, I'll be considering my future, and the last thing he wanted was to be walking out in front of a half-empty stadium with people booing him. But as the weeks have gone on, he's kind of, the more criticism Mick faces, I think he's got that sort of stubborn, belligerent streak in him, hasn't he? And I think that's just fired him up to kind of prove people wrong. So I think he's got that fire in his belly to prove people wrong. Is his damage with fans irreparable now? He should have plenty of sympathy for the restrictions that he's faced, both in terms of budget and injuries and various other things. He's not helped himself. He's poured petrol on the flames instead of dousing them with water. The tactics I mentioned, you know, recalling Douglas when it was clear that was kind of annoying fans. It's the sort of thing he almost did. It felt like he was kind of doing it just to wind people up. But and his words in press conferences as well, instead of trying to sort of appease fans and calm down a situation, you know, he started sort of pointing the finger and saying fans need to play their part, and any talk about sort of team selection. You remember he sort of said, I'm not going to discuss pub debates surrounding Cole Skuse. Things like that has just started to get under fans' skin. And I think there's a few that have made up their minds on Mick, and he can't win them back over. So he's got a pretty big rebuilding job this summer to get people back on board. If it doesn't start well at the start of next season, then things could unravel quite quickly.
From what I can gauge from you, you're really looking forward to that pre-season in Ireland again and the flight there and back in the day. But there we go, we'll leave it for now. We'll probably be quiet on Ipswich for a couple of weeks before the madness starts again in terms of transfer speculation. It's already started a little bit, but the players tend to go away now for a few weeks, as do the managers and the agents, so it'll probably really start again maybe mid-June. So there it is. That's the end of another Sleeping Giants podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks very much to Stuart Watson. And until next time, bye-bye.